message, a series that we've been talking about, Finding God's Will. Have you learned anything through this series? Yeah? We've tried to like debunk some things, and this morning we're wrapping it up with a pretty powerful message, and I've been praying all week, and I've been praying for the last couple of weeks to get to this message, so I'm praying that God will teach us something. Did you come ready? Yes? All right. Well, if you're new here, my name's Tim, lead pastor here, and it's my privilege to be a part of the church family. Now, in this series, I just want to give us a really quick, just brief synopsis of what we learned so far. Very brief, okay? So if you've missed any of them, go back, watch the messages. But last week, we learned just the heartbeat of God for us, right? That Psalm 139, God knit us in the womb. He knows every part about us, right? And this is Ephesians 2. It says, for we are his workmanship, right? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. God has a will, and he wants us to know it, right? God has good things that he has prepared for you to do in this life. And the cool thing is, you're not going to miss it, okay? Some people are like treat God's will as, well, I don't know, I can't find it. It's this thing out there, and I'm never going to know. And it's like, no, you will know. You can know. You can walk into knowing what God's will is. Now, here's the good news. All of us know God's greater will. We define his will as his desire and his pleasure in our life, right? His greatest will is his greatest commandment, which is to love God and love others. So any day you're doing that, you're in his will. Isn't that good to know?
Amen.
All right. So that's what we teach around here at New Hope. But with this whole idea, we got deeper and personal, though, right? Because God has a vested interest in me, and I can trust his leadership in my life. That was last week, right? That if God made me, he created me, he knew me from the very beginning, he has a plan for me, things that are good to do, he has a vested interest in you, in your story. Because he knows you, he knit you, he has a plan for you, and I then can also trust his leadership in my life. If I know it's good, he's got good things ahead of me, I can trust him in that process. Does that mean I'm going to have a perfect life? Nope. Welcome to this broken world, broken sinners. We all do stupid things, right? We all sin, and people sin against us. We will experience those things, those valleys. It's usually in the valleys, though, where we experience God's presence the most, isn't it? It's in those valleys where we actually start running to him and not being like, well, life is good. I guess I don't need you anymore, right? Like, he's like, okay, I'll let you know that you still need me from time to time. I'll let you go through some hard times, and that's okay, because then he takes us through the learning process of growth, putting off things that don't look like him, putting on things that look more like him. That's the journey of this trusting his leadership in our lives, all right? Now, I gave you last week the 5 keys to learning your personal will. What's God's personal will for your life, okay? Remember these 5?
Yes.
Thank you, Todd. All right, anybody else remember these? All right, because this is what they were really quick, all right? If you want to test God's will, if you're trying to figure out a very specific thing, should I take this job, not take that, should I date this person, not, should I get married, all those big life questions, these are the 5 things that are great to filter through as you're going through those decisions. Number one, you check your motives, right? Where's your heart? You being selfish in it? You being sinful in it? You being, like, are you being loving in it? You being thoughtful of others? Like, what is it in your heart? Where are your motives in this decision? So check your heart first, right? Because we can deceive ourselves all day long, can't we? Like, my heart tells me I need that chocolate, right? But my body says, nah, you don't. You know, you really don't, right? Like, we can deceive ourselves. So we check your motives. And then we line it up with the gap. Is it good, acceptable, and perfect, right? Because Romans 12:2, we know that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. So is what I'm walking into good, acceptable, perfect? Would God be like, yeah, I like that thing in your life. I want that in your life, right? And then we talked about aligning with God's word, just the importance that if we're making a decision, but we don't know what God says about that decision, we're going to get in trouble. So whatever that decision is, go and read all the verses you need to read about that thing, whatever it might be, so that you know I'm not going to walk outside of alignment of God's word. Because if I'm in God's word, I know I'm going to be aligned with his will. That's how that works, right? We talked about his sovereign will, his moral will. That's kind of that process. Am I walking inside of that with God? And then listen to the Holy Spirit. And we talk about that's a learning process. Like, what's the Holy Spirit saying in your life? Is he affirming things? Or is he like, whoa, 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 putting the brakes? You know, this isn't just like, do what your heart tells you to do. Like, that's kind of the world's way of saying that. Like, what's your heart say? We know that our hearts, again, back to the motives, we can deceive ourselves. The Holy Spirit can't deceive us. The Holy Spirit's continually talking to God in heaven and aligning us with the kingdom of heaven on this earth. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing. And so what is the Holy Spirit saying? And the last one, I said you need to get some BGPs, right? The last filter is go ask some big godly people in your life. And not just one, like get a few in your life that you can say, I'm thinking about this. And listen to what they have to say. Good godly people will ask you good questions. Like, well, tell me why and tell me this. Remember how we talked about the five whys? When you get to like an issue in your life, ask yourself why five different times to go deeper till you find the reason. Like, why am I doing this? And let God speak in that, okay? So that was last week, very practical, five things you need to do. Now, this morning, we're going to dig into something. Have you ever had a day like this? Have you ever had a day that started so well that you're like, man, today is going to be a good day? Have you ever had one of those days, right? It's like, today's going to be a good day, and I'm heading in the right direction, and then all of a sudden, something comes that all of a sudden, it's not a good day. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Have you ever had those days? You know, I have a couple of pictures, and maybe you thought you were the king of the world, but all of a sudden this happens. Right? Like the bird hits you in the face, you know? That's a bad day. Or you're going for a beautiful walk on a spring day, and all of a sudden this happens. Oh, bad day all of a sudden, right? Like, come on, man. You took a shower, and then you took another shower, right? That is a bad day. Maybe it's a beautiful day. You got in your convertible. You're ready for a beautiful drive. But there's a car in front of you with a low bridge in front of it. And it looks like this. Uh-oh. The crap's about to fly, right? Right? That is a good day turned into a bad day real quick. And maybe you have a doctor's appointment and you're like, you're really wrestling with stuff and you wonder what's going to happen. And you look at this brochure thing and this is what it says. Oops, right? Like, dang it. Sorry, you know, you're going to end, right? So, like, we've had days like that, right? Where it's like, man, it was going to be a good day. Everything was lining up, and then all of a sudden, something bad happened, or I did something stupid, or the crap hit the fan, or whatever it was, you know? That's life. That's how life goes. Sometimes, though, we feel that same feeling when we're trying to find God's will for our life, right? We feel like, man, I feel like I'm just walking in His purpose, and I found it, and all of a sudden, life just, boom. Just smacks you, and you're like, what was that? I was doing the five. I was, like, looking at the things I was supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden, something just sideswipes me, and I don't know what it is. Sometimes we sideswipe ourselves, but sometimes there's something deeper and scarier going on in that moment, okay? Today, just a little disclosure. Today, I'm going to be talking about Satan, okay? And I know the moment I start talking about him, some things might happen. One, all of us in this room might have an opinion about it, okay? Who this is, is he real, is he not real, like all this kind of stuff. Because when you start talking about Satan, some people give him way too much credit for things in their life, right? Some people are like, you know, they go to Dunkin' Donuts, they get their coffee, and they take a sip, and it's cold. Oh, Satan, you're trying to get me. Like, if that's all it takes, right, then you've got other issues, right? They're looking for Satan behind every rock. You know what I'm saying? Like you give him way too much credit for things in your life. Some people give him too much credit even on the other realm. It's like maybe with temptation. They're like, man, Satan's tempting me. And I'm like, well, no, not. I mean, you probably did this yourself. When you search like hot girls in Google, I'm just saying like that probably wasn't Satan. That was you. Right? Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I was looking for hot grills. We need new barbecue. Like, I'm sorry, right? And then you start, like, trying to cover your tracks and all that kind of stuff. Like, we, in our own flesh and sin nature, do stupid things, right? And Satan's like, I didn't have to touch that one. I'm just over here celebrating, right? I'm just over here like, pfft. So, you know, we have these different views, and maybe, like, we go to one extreme or another, but sometimes when bad things happen, yes, it could be us. It could be we just made a bad decision. Or it could have been somebody beside us. They just made a bad decision, and it just is what it is, and you have to just run with it. That's just relationships. Sometimes that's just how it goes. But sometimes there is an enemy. Sometimes he is active and alive, and he's being really proactive about trying to take you down, especially when you're going closer and deeper in your relationship with God. He will try to trip you up in so many different ways. So I want to talk about the truth in the middle about who he is and what happens. When we're talking about this wrestling point, we're talking about Jesus today, we're talking about Satan, and we're talking about God's will, okay? Because all three have plans. And we're going to use Jesus as an example, as a model for us today, about how he dealt with that tension. Because he walked this earth, he was fully man, he was fully God, but he fully experienced all the things we experience. And he was tempted, but he did not sin. So how in the world did he walk? How can we learn from him in this story, okay? So let's start. I'm going to try to get through this pretty quickly, okay? So number one point is this. You can fill in the blank. Number one is this, is Satan is real and he has a will, okay? Satan is real and he has a will. Remember we talking about the word will defined in the Greek was this word thelema, which means his pleasure or desire for you. Like God has a pleasure and desire for your life. Satan as well has a will. He has a plan at play, and I want to prove it to you through some scriptures. We're going to start in the book of Revelation, then we're going to go to the book of Luke, okay? Revelation chapter 12. Anybody in the Revelation class right now with Tony, right? Okay, so you guys are like, are you there yet? Are you at 12 yet? All right, if not, okay, cool. So you won't judge me about what Tony taught. You're just going to listen to me. Tony's one of our elders. He's a teaching elder. He's awesome. I love Tony. So we're going to be in Revelation chapter 12 and see what happened in this scene of where did Satan show up on this earth? What happened in heaven? Because Satan, in the beginning, was an angel. And he actually had angels who followed him as angels in heaven. But something came into him. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be over God. He wanted to lead over. And his pride entered in. Angels have free will, which is crazy to think about. Angels as beings were created by God. God was the creator of angels. And in his free will and all these other angels' free will, they tried to push against God on his throne. This is what we see in the book of Revelation chapter 12, starting verse 7. It says, then a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. He's talking about Satan. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Right? So God's angels were stronger. Can you take comfort in that?
Amen.
God's angels are stronger. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. That's what he's doing now. That is his will. This world, let's lead it all astray. Let's just make it all crazy. Let's create division. Let's make sure they don't see God, know God, hear about God. Let's get rid of that whole gospel thing. Like that's his plan. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So it wasn't just him. Angels now that we call demons today, right? Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. So now we're talking about Jesus showed up. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters. That's a description of Satan. The accuser. And listen to what he's accusing of. Who accuses them, us, before our God, day and night, has been hurled down. So he's interceding on our behalf to take us down. Y'all with me?
Yes.
People don't teach this stuff, okay? Like Satan himself is the intercession for accusation against you, the brothers and sisters in Christ. To try to say, nope, they don't belong. They don't belong. They don't. Did you see what they did? See, he Googled hot girls. Did you see that? Right? Like he's up there like accusing us. Like, I don't think they belong to Jesus. I don't think you belong to Jesus. He's the great accuser, trying to lead people astray from the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't think the book of Revelation is real and true, let's go to Luke, Jesus' words. If we're here, we believe in Jesus, right? Jesus walked this world. He talked about this world. He also talked about Satan. He interacted with Satan, which we're going to talk about today. So in Luke chapter 10, we see the eyewitness account from Jesus himself. I need to finish with this one. So this is Satan, right? Satan is filled with fury. Why? Because he knows that his time is short. He's ticked off because his judgment's already been cast. It's already been made. So now he's trying to do his best in the time that he has left to lead people astray, right? To accuse. Now Jesus talks about it in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we know that Jesus was sending out the 72 disciples out to minister in these cities. And so he's sending them out saying, go, you are now under my power. You have the Spirit with you. Go prepare these towns to hear this word that the kingdom of heaven is near. And so 72 go out, and then 72 return with joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons, who are the demons? They're Satan's angels. They're the angels that fell with Satan. He's the leader. They're all the lackeys, right? They're all the followers trying to also help him out with his plan. And the Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The angels are stronger than Jesus. Is above the angels. In his name we have power. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Jesus was an eyewitness of the account of when Satan was cast out with all his angels and demons, right? And so Jesus is echoing and saying, I was there, I saw it. And then it says this, I have given you, he's talking to those 72, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Amen?
Amen.
Like, this is good news, y'all.
Yes.
Satan has a will. It's not good. He had a plan in heaven to take over heaven, to take over God, and now he knows that battle's over. He's sent to this world, and now he's trying to lead people astray. Let's try to foil this plan as much as we can. It's interesting what you see about the character of Jesus. The character of Satan, I mean. He is an accuser. He is a deceiver. Right? He deceived Eve in the garden and Adam right from the get-go of this whole story. Oh, you want to be like God. That's the one thing you don't have. You have all this and you have everything you need, but you're not like him. If you eat this, you'll be like him. The great deceiver from the very beginning. The destroyer, the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is him. He is a liar. Lying is his native tongue, okay? He's slick at it. He knows how to do it. He knows how to take God's word and turn it into a lie. He twists it and turns it for his own purposes. He's a tempter. He tempts and leads people away. We're going to see that in just a moment. He's a thief. He loves stealing things and stealing things from people. He's a murderer, he's described. I believe one of the biggest things he does, he is the king of distraction. If he can't get you, he'll at least get you busy. He'll let things in your life that allow you not to think about your life, but just to deal with the problems that you're continually wrestling with. And we let him. We let him do that. Ultimately, he is the ultimate bully trying to thwart God's plans. Bottom line, he's the bully on the playground on this earth. And he's got a bunch of lackeys, a bunch of these demons running around. It's interesting. As we walk deeper into God's will, and we walk closer to what God desires for us, especially if it's going to lead to other people coming to know Christ, he will work his best to sideswipe you and to take you down. I can't share all of the things I want to share this morning. I'm going to share parts of them. Dang it, this is why I didn't want to preach this. God is working in Nikki, my life, in ways that are extremely scary and exciting all at the same time. He's opening doors for us in ways that I could have never imagined. For us to use all the things we've been through to change thousands of people's lives. And I can't show you the full picture and story of that. But he's at work. And he's clarifying things for us in ways that I'm like, wow, really, God? Really? In the midst of these conversations and us going through the big five and us going through, okay, God's will and us seeking him and wanting him to work more and more in our lives and seeing him use what he's given us, the trials and the pains he's used, that he wants to redeem every bit of those in my life and in Nikki's life and in our boys' lives. And he's going to open the doors for us to continue to do that. He's done that here. He's going to continue to do that. And in this wrestling of, okay, God, you're working all these great things out, as we're praying and seeking him, right in the midst of that, Satan tries to distract and hurt something that is closest to us, which is our three boys. And it pissed me off. I mean, you touch me, Satan, that's fine. You touch my boys, now, okay, watch out. Yeah. Right? There's this fatherly thing that kicks in. Now, here's the good news. I have that so much for my boys. My Heavenly Father has much more for me and my boys. When he says, oh, no, my Heavenly Father's like, oh, you shouldn't have messed with them, right? Because we already know he has victory. So let me share you a story of God's faithfulness in the midst of chaos, okay? A couple of weeks ago, I think it was on the 20th of October, it was a Wednesday night, our boys were driving to youth group, which is a normal thing. And our son Grayson was driving Nat's car, a 2006 Honda Civic. All three of our boys were in the car, and as they were driving, he got distracted for a moment and swerved just a little bit into the other lane. Not getting used to the car that he was driving, he went back, but Honda Civics, I guess, are like, and he lost control and drove the car into a ditch on Route 3, a deep ditch, hit the ditch, flew back up. The eyewitnesses say when they flew back up, they were upside down the height of a semi-truck. And they landed right on the front, on the hood, on the windshield, and then slid back into the ditch. Nikki immediately, we have Life 360 on our phones, gets a report, boom, accident. And she right away grabs her keys, runs out the door and starts driving because they had just left not too long ago. In the midst of this, I'm not home. I'm in another state. I'm in Florida, and I'm on a personal spiritual retreat praying. And it's that same moment when this happens. I feel like Satan had a plan. And Satan's a jerk. And his plan did not win. So I can show you a picture of the car. Here's a couple of pictures of the car of what happened so you can understand. So that was after it got towed and dragged away. I've never seen a rim snap like that before. And I've seen a lot of cars. It looks like that because it looked like this in the ditch. And I get this picture sent to me. You can go to the next picture. By my buddy Sam, one of my best friends sitting there, who's a part of our church and helped with our youth ministry, and our boys love him. And so Sam sends me a picture, and I'm going, what just happened? And I'm trying to call Nikki, and of course she's taking care of a bunch of things. So you can see the three boys are outside of that car, and there's not a scratch on them. And there's some bruising on Nat's arm. Nothing's broken, nothing's bleeding, and the angels held them in the car.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So the enemy meant for, yeah, you can clap for that. Like, I'm telling you, if you don't believe in God's protection after an experience like that, then I don't know what you think God's up to. Like, and so our three boys are going through this. Now, the moment it happened, Nikki's in the car, she drives, she gets there, Sam gets there at the exact same time. Sam happened to be driving by on his way to church and sees, wait, that's the boy's car, and the wheels were still spinning in the ditch when he got there. The person behind them that saw the whole thing had been an EMT and a lifeguard, and he showed up, jumped out of the car, looked in at them, and saw they were okay, and said, that was the effing most gnarliest thing I've seen. Like, and our boys remember that. The very first words they heard were, because I couldn't imagine that image and seeing that, right? Like, so he's like, he's expecting to see something way worse inside of that car. And he sees they're all okay, and so Luke isn't thinking. He just unlocks his seatbelt and boom, and then he falls out. And then so he gets out of the car, and Grayson gets out of the car, and he's making sure they're okay, and he has a knife and cuts Nat's seatbelt so he can get out right then too. So all of them, this is within a few minutes, guys. The other people heading the other direction that were eyewitnesses was also an active EMT, who he, right when he saw it, called his department that he knows, and they were there within 3 minutes. What? Okay, and then the sheriff that shows up is sitting right here, Logan, right? Logan comes to our church, Logan and Allie, and like he's the sheriff on site on what's going on. It's like, okay, God, you already knew this was all going to go down. You lined up every single person. I'm grateful for these guys and these gals that were there right then. I think the guy in the suit was the guy that was there also, and he had a diabetes kit because he had diabetes, and Nat has diabetes, our second son, so right away he said, let me go get that, let's check his blood sugar and make sure he's okay and he's not going to faint. I'm like, so every little detail, all through something that could have been tragic, was a moment that God showed up in every little detail before a phone call was ever made. As it was going on, Nikki's like, I need to call Sam because Tim's out of town, and Sam's one of our best friends, and he knows about cars, and Sam was already there. It's like, did I call him when I was, I don't remember calling him. He was already there. This is what I know. What the enemy plans for evil, God turns it for good.
Amen.
To show off his protection, his provision, his plan. And I'm grateful that our boys are healing. they had concussions, of course. And we learned this week, it's not normal sports injuries where you get one hit. It's like, the doctor's like, your head probably hit a few things a few times as you were going through that. And so they're healing, you know. Some have been to school, some haven't yet. So be praying for them to continue to heal that way, in that process. But what I know through all of that is that Satan's plan will not succeed. It won't in my life, it won't in my wife's life, it won't in our three boys' life. Imagine the bonding they're going through as brothers right now. They have that shared together, and all of them know God has a plan for my life.
Amen.
If he's protecting me like this, he has a vested interest in me, right? He has a vested interest in all of us, guys. He has plans and purposes. We can have victory, but there's only one way you can have it. Fill in the blank, number two. Jesus gives us victory over the enemy. Amen? Jesus is the only one who can give us and supply us victory over this enemy. Too often we try to do it in our own power. We try to do it like, I got this. I got this, God. You just hang out. Watch me. What I'm going to do to Satan. Ha, ha, ha. It's like, you can try and take him on your own, but I'm telling you, that's a hard battle. You need Jesus with you and in you to take on that battle. I want us to look at how Jesus did it. Jesus is our Savior, amen?
Amen.
And he is also our model. How did he live this out? Because we see in Luke chapter 4, Satan and Jesus were hanging out. They had an interaction before Jesus ever started his ministry, before he healed somebody. It's interesting when you look at the testimony of Jesus through the Gospels and even in the book of Acts. A big part of their ministry was casting out demons. If you read through it, it's in there all the time. And so in the world we live in, like in America, it's kind of like, well, we don't really, you know, we don't have demons, we don't talk about it, it's like, we probably have more than we know about. And there's probably things going on in our life that is probably some evil things happening to us or around us. And if we don't know Christ, it can be happening in us. If you have Christ, Satan cannot be in you, okay? Once you belong to Christ, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Satan cannot enter into you, okay? There is no demonic possession for a Christ follower. There can be oppression. There can be external things that he tries to do. But he cannot be in you. The authority, though, that we see is in the name of Jesus. Let's look at what's happening here in Luke chapter 4, okay? So in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is sent out into the wilderness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And where am I at? John? Is it John or is it Luke? I have Luke here and it's John up here. I think it's Luke as well. So, yeah, it's Luke. So, sorry about that. Luke chapter 4. This is what happened. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan. So this is after he was baptized. After the Father says, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. You know, like before he even did any ministry, his Heavenly Father was like, this is mine. He's mine. He says that to us as well. So he's led then into the wilderness where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. You see this interchange and interaction. I'm just going to read it quickly. He ate nothing during those days. He fasted. And at the end of them, he was hungry. Of course he was. You're hungry after a day, right? He's like 40 days in the wilderness. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, immediately attacking his identity, what he just received from his Heavenly Father, the accuser, the deceiver, right? If you say you are, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. So boom, he thwarts him with the word of God. Verse 5, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Could you imagine that? He said, and then he said to him, I will give you all their authority. I'll give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours. Whoa. This is a bigger temptation than you realize. Okay? Because Satan, or Jesus knows that this is going to end on the cross. And he's saying, when you enter and you go through that process, you send him back to heaven, yes, you will have authority. But what Satan's saying, you don't have to go through all that. I can give it to you now. Talk about a temptation. I have the authority over all this world right now. That's what Satan says. And Jesus answered him, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. It's like, no, I don't think so. The devil led him to Jerusalem, which is God's holy city, right? And had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, again, challenge him. He said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. So now Satan's pulling out the Bible. He's like, oh, well, I know another Bible verse. It says this. He twists it. They will lift you up with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. But Jesus is like, you're twisting that one, Satan. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And with the devil, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. So the attack hadn't been finished yet. There's another time coming, right? Satan's going to keep working on this plan. We see this interchange with Jesus and Satan before he starts his ministry. And we see that Jesus in the flesh, being led by the Spirit, has victory over the temptation of the enemy. We can walk in that same power of the Holy Spirit. And we even have one up on that. We have Jesus himself, who already won the victory in us. And we have a whole nother thing, which is all the New Testament, the Gospels of what he did, the letters written to us to know how to walk in the Spirit. We have the Word of God just as God, or just as Jesus had the Word of God. We have the Word of God in its fullness. And so when Satan comes and lies to you, you better know the truth. Okay? Here's my other point. Here we go. God's truth shatters Satan's lies. If he is the accuser, if he is the liar, if he's the one that's trying to attack you with, oh, but God said this, but God said that, and you're like, it sounds good, but that's actually not true. That's not the fullness of that passage, Satan, that you're trying to twist. We see all through the New Testament, through the letters that Paul wrote to the church, he's like, be careful. There are liars out there. There are thieves. There are those that appear to be Christ followers or pastors that are not. And there will be those that think they walked with him and preached his word, and they get to heaven. Jesus is going to say, I'm sorry, I don't know you. You did all that stuff, but it wasn't in me. It was in your own power. Satan has that. We as Christ followers have the Word of God and can debunk any of the lies the enemy brings to us through his truth, through knowing God's Word. And I know we say this all the time in New Hope, but you got to be in his Word. If you're not, you're opening the gates. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but because that's a whole other sermon talking about the fact that our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against the principalities and the rulers of this world, right? That's Satan and his lackeys. And then he says, and put on the armor of God, the spiritual armor. The only thing that is active, the only thing that's on the offense in that whole spiritual armor is the sword, right? The sword is the piece of that spiritual armor, and the sword is the Word of God. It's the only thing you fight against him with. The rest of the armor of God is righteousness, which he gives you. It's the feet ready with the gospel, which is God's word. Like, it's all the things that protect us in what Christ has done for us. The only thing to fight with is the word. So you better know it. You better be in it. And you better be ready to thwart the lies of the enemy in your life while you go on this journey of finding his will for you, okay? Is everybody with me? The truth shatters Satan's lies. You need to read it, and you got to know it, and you got to dig into it, and you got to pursue it. Because you might get to a point just like Jesus at the end. In Matthew chapter 26, this is where we're going to wrap up the message this morning. In Matthew chapter 26, we see that opportune time from Luke 4. The opportune time was when Jesus was celebrating Passover. And one of the disciples, I don't believe in, you know, have different theologians talk about Judas. I don't believe Judas was ever with God, but he was a follower of Jesus. Being prepared for what the enemy had planned, and it says Satan entered into Judas. Whoa. To start his plan at the end of the story. See, Jesus had a plan, God had a plan, and it included a cross. Satan had a plan, and he thought it included a cross. So Satan, with Judas, sells out Jesus to the Jewish leaders and says, I know where he's at, and you can arrest him, and we can end this whole thing. Satan has a will. He has a plan. And in this moment, Satan's trying to work out his plan. We see in this moment, Jesus is wrestling with his will. This is one of the most, like, these moments that we see the humanity of Christ come out in this battle between Satan, Jesus, and God's will. This is what happens in Matthew chapter 26. It says, going a little further, so he goes with the disciples that he has with him, and they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's telling them, like, stay awake with me. We need to be praying, okay? And then he goes a little bit farther and prays by himself. And so going a little bit farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. This is a wrestling point in our theology right here, right? Jesus in his humanness had a will. He had free will. He could make choices. And in this free will, Jesus is saying to his heavenly Father, I don't want to do this. I know what it's going to take. I know what you're asking. I know the plan. This is going to be hard. If it is at all possible, if we can come up with a plan B, I mean, can I go find a sheep real quick, God? Like, can we just, like, I know I'm supposed to be the perfect lamb, but I can find one pretty close. You know, okay? Like, I'm not saying he said that, all right? So don't think Tim's preaching blasphemy, okay? But I'm thinking in our own humanness, would you not be trying to figure out other ways? So he's wrestling with his personal will of what's going on in this battle, and he says, yet, not as I will, but as you will, right? So then Peter, okay, we jump into this. Then after, did I skip a verse? That's 39:40. So then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Okay, he gets mad. Couldn't you men keep even watch with me for 1 hour? He's like, come on, guys. Right? This is his flesh. You need to hear this very clearly. If you think you can go it alone with Satan, you are much bigger than Jesus. Jesus said, I'm right now going into the deepest part of what I have to do in this plan. Can't you guys be with me? He wanted his guys with him. He didn't want to do it alone. He wanted them to be praying for him, surrounding him. If you think you can go it alone, you are much bigger than Jesus. You can't go it alone, y'all. You need strong people around you. You need Christ followers around you. You need people praying for you in the garden at the time when the temptation is the worst. And if you don't already have them, you've already lost. And so he's mad. He's like, come on, stay awake. And so he asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. It's like the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here's the reality of our life. He keeps going. So he went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it. He's repeating the prayer. He already knows the answer. He already knows what's going to happen. But he's just weeping with his heavenly Father. This is going to be hard. May your will be done. This is the moment of the greatest surrender in the history of anything. When Jesus surrenders his will, he wants to conquer Satan's will. God, let your will be done. We can be like Jesus, and this is what we need to understand as we wrap this message up. You choose. This is you and me. You choose to submit to your will. You choose to submit to Satan's will, or you choose to submit to God's will for your life every day. Welcome to free will. Our free will is choice. We get to choose. Am I going to submit to my will? God, I know what you want me to do. I know you have a plan for this. I know you want this to happen. But my plan's easier. I'm going to do my plan, God. Just this once. Right? Like, we wrestle with that, my will. Or do we submit to Satan's will? Do we just let him have free zone? Do we go it alone in our walk with Christ? It's like, I don't need other people. It's all by myself. You guys, you know, I know the church. And maybe you have reasons like, man, that church was stupid I went to, and that person hurt me at that church, so I'm not going to be a part of church because of that person. Well, you're blaming the wrong person. Because you're doing exactly what Satan wills for your life, to be disconnected all by yourself in the midst of a spiritual battle. That's Satan's will, not God's. You have a choice in it, or you can walk into God's will for your life. May not be the easiest. There's sometimes when it is fabulous. Like, there's sometimes when you walk into God's will and you're like, this is awesome. Like, woo, right? Like those are the great moments. Celebrate that. And that's, here's a good thing. If you have people around you, they get to celebrate too. It's better to have a party not by yourself, you know? It's better to have a party with other people going, I see that. That's awesome what God's doing. I'm praising God with you. That's awesome. You need people like that. Sometimes, though, it is, okay, God, not my will, but yours. And I'm going to have to trust you through this, right? But the bottom line is, you choose. You get to choose. Let me go back to the book of Revelation. And for this, the Revelation chapter 12, how this wraps up, should be the motivation for us to follow God's will. Okay? Should be the motivation, because then it ends with this, oh, it's not up there. So let me read it. I didn't put out a slide. It gets down after talking about Satan being cast down. He's ticked off. He's full of fury. Verse 12, they triumphed over him, over Satan. Who's they? The church, the body of Christ. Triumphed over him. Do you hear the oomph? It's already been done. Amen. EDE is past tense. They triumphed over him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Satan's plans have been trampled by the victory of Jesus Christ fulfilling God's will on the cross, the perfect sacrifice for our sin forever, and by the word of their testimony. Meaning every time you share what Christ has done in you, you're trampling on the head of Christ, or on the head of Satan. You're trampling on his plans. Oh, my testimony is, oh, this is what God did for me. That God saved me. Trample, trample, trample. We heard some trampling during baptism, didn't we? Satan's head got trampled over alcohol. Got trampled over lies and deceit. When we share the testimony of the working of the blood of Christ, Satan loses all over again. Let's not stop sharing the testimony of Jesus Christ in our lives one to another. And just so you know, that only happens when you have another with you. Can I echo that enough? You need people. You need Christ followers in your life. Now, here's the thing. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you have no victory. You don't. Because there's only one victor, and that is Jesus. And if you don't know him, you're on the losing team. And you can fight your best, but honestly, you're not going to win. You're not going to make it in the end. And today, I want you to have the opportunity to say, no, I've tried it on my own will. I believe there's something against me. I feel it. I mean, I feel something against me. And today I'm going to choose to let Jesus be the winner and victor over the sin in my life so I can be forgiven now and forever, over the enemy in my life so I can walk in victory and let that be my testimony so I can have eternity in mind and in my future with Christ in heaven. And I'm telling you, when you make that decision, it's not an easy decision, because what it means is I'm giving up my will. Because I know God's will is much better for me. I'd rather be my will in hell. I'd rather be God's will in heaven. Okay? I can't make that decision for you. Nobody else can make that decision for you. There's no magical prayer to get you into heaven. There's no, like, get out of hell free card, okay? It only comes when you confess that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. He's the one that paid for your sin on the cross. And when you receive and accept him, you can proclaim victory now and forever. So I'm going to pray in a moment. We're going to respond in worship today. Amen? We're going to proclaim victory in our lives as we're going to sing a song in just a moment. And we're going to proclaim that worship time as that word and power of victory that we've already received. But if you have not accepted Christ, let today be your day. I'm going to pray. You can pray with me if you want to. against. No magic words to the pastors to get you to heaven, right? Like, it's not how it works. You have to pray it in your own heart. Believe it in your own heart, your mind, your soul, that Jesus is the Son of God. He died and he rose again to pay for your sin on the cross so you can have life with him forever. So let's take this moment to pray, okay? So that's you. In this time, again, this is not easy. This isn't like, boy, I'm going to heaven now. Like, you're giving him your life. But if you want that, you can just pray to him right now. You can say this. Say, God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that he died on the cross. It should have been me on that cross paying for my own sins, but he paid for them for me. His blood shed, his body broken, his life given. I confess him as my Savior, Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. Enter into my heart, my life. I want to be yours now and forever. Forgive me of my sin. I want to turn away from my sin, God. I repent of it. Help me walk more into your word and your calling in my life. Heal me, forgive me, enter in. And I confess Jesus in my life, in Christ's name. Amen. And God, for all of us here,